T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Team Goldman has a new addition, if you're following along on social media this week. And Shayna Goldman has joined us from The Athletic and her Too Many Men podcast. Shayna, do tell. How's that first line of yours looking?
The first line looks great. We got Zuki, Kona, and a new addition of Mika. She's a real energy booster. She definitely has a lot to learn, but she has two really smart dogs to guide her.
Well, according to the pictures you posted on social media, there is definitely an element of leadership in your clan. Like, it looks like whatever the more mature two do, the puppy follows along. Like, is that also with all the, you know, the bad stuff, the troublemaking stuff, or just the good doggy stuff?
No, all of it. Zuki's the pack leader without a question. And whatever she does, if Kona's too wild, Zuki knows how to calm her down. And now Mika's learning the way. She got a nice paw swap for trying to steal a bone yesterday.
I love it. Okay, well, not that that's not the real reason you're with us today, but the real reason that we are talking from the arena right now is because the Sabres desperately need a win. They're up against one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference, if not the NHL this year, in the New Jersey Devils. And you have done, as you always do, extensive research specifically about the Devils, because they're going to be embarking on their first playoff opportunity here in a while, very soon. And we're learning, or about to learn, whether they're a good model to follow. Explain a little bit, as you see the Devils and whether Buffalo should be interested in following their lead.
So the Devils this year have the most success, you know, off the rush. That is their bread and butter this year. And a lot of more, I guess, traditional thinkers would tell you that that's not a sustainable way to go into the playoffs because of the heavy hockey playoff environment that we all anticipate. And while there's a point to it, especially when you look at a team like the Florida Panthers last year, you know, there's lessons to learn here on whether or not it can work. And the Sabres are a team that rely on the rush versus, you know, cycle offense and a strong forecheck. And while they addressed it at the deadline with Jordan Greenway, they still have like a ways to go to really balance out their game. So, you know, it's a good test to see how did the Devils manage. And the thing with them is they're very inexperienced, and that's going to be its own can of worms. But we can look to teams like the Colorado Avalanche, who won last year, as an elite rush team. And we can look to the year before when they got stood up by a team like Vegas. It wasn't just a bone-crushing, slow team that grinded them out. It was a team that was also good off the rush, that figured out how to clog the neutral zone. And instead of changing their ways like the Panthers did, we saw the Avalanche just lean into it more and trust the process and get stronger with it. So it's going to be interesting to see, one, how the Devils do, and two, how they proceed this offseason if they get out early, if they overreact and panic and change their game. And, you know, the Sabres can obviously take notes from it. It's copycat league, so everybody copies who the best teams in the league are and tries to take their own lessons from it.
When people usually talk about a rush team, I think of, well, they attack on the rush a lot, but they give up a lot on the rush as well. Is that something that New Jersey is vulnerable to, is by trying to press on their offense with rush chances and the neutral zone play? Are they vulnerable the other way also?
So the Devils this year aren't as vulnerable to it. And that's a big difference from the Panthers team of last year, who we all think of as, you know, that live by the blade, die by the blade kind of team. And it's because of roster construction and some of their tactics. But the Devils, they have a more mobile blue line. So they have defensemen who can get up in the rush and get back. The difference is they don't have the steadiest of goaltending. I mean, maybe that's like shortchanging Vanacek a bit, but they've gotten by with average or slightly above average goaltending because they insulate him so well. So it's something that you can do if you trust your goaltending, right? You can be a little bit more loose defensively if you trust your goaltending. Or on the other side, if you have, you know, a little bit of unstable goaltending, it puts more emphasis on needing defense that isn't necessarily leaky the other way. And, you know, again, it's a team like the Avalanche that's the model for that because they were elite on both sides of the ice when it comes to their transition game.
We were just discussing very briefly Vitek Vanacek. Mm-hmm. What is it going to take to convince everyone that he is deserving of the career record of 70, 30, and 14?
You know what? It's tough because he comes into a team like New Jersey, and everybody said for the entire last year, they just need average goaltending and they can get by. And at first, that's what they were getting from Vanacek. And he really didn't have to do much in the beginning of the season because everybody was so caught on their heels by the Devils that it felt like they weren't outpossessing them. We weren't, you know, getting those strong scoring chances. So they didn't need goaltending to be perfect. But once teams started to study them, they figured out ways to expose their weaknesses and get more shots on Vanacek. And I think he really stood up to it. The problem is recency now. We're going to look at his, you know, latest stretch, and it hasn't been the most impressive. But I think something to keep in mind is his workload. He's never played this much at the NHL level, so it's an adjustment. You know, that's why they need to rotate their goalies a little bit more to keep him ready for the playoffs, which, again, is going to be an extension of a year that he's just not accustomed to. So I think he's really gotten better as the year has gone on, but, you know, he still needs work, which is completely and totally normal for a goaltender who hasn't been a bona fide starter before.
Okay, so a lot of goals in the NHL last night, and there's been a lot of high-scoring games of late in the month of March. The save percentages around the league is dropping like a bad stock market on a recession type of situation here if you do the graphs. Why is that? Is it all goaltending? Are teams like the Sabres feeling the stress and the pressure of playoff races? Like, what's going on? I don't want to put the blame on all the goals.
And what's wrong with Tampa if we're going to go down this
path?
Yeah,
I know, exactly. To Vasilevsky. What's wrong with Vasi?
Well, if you're a goalie and you're the one blaming the goalie, like, aren't you the one that should be telling us about that? Should we be blaming goalies? Usually goalies defend goalies. Your goalie union card might be revoked right now. But no, I think, you know what, in the beginning of the year, after last year, scoring was on the rise, right? Now, we saw an extension of that when the season started. It did feel like some goaltenders were just being exposed to really creative shooters and more potent offenses and stronger power plays. We're seeing more teams lean with a, you know, four forward, one defenseman unit, which is much better and, you know, for future success and for scoring. But it does seem like right now we're seeing goalies kind of slip a little bit. I think a lot of it's team defense. And I know it's like so easy to point out and go, well, it's the defense's fault. But I think that's the problem right now, especially for the Sabres. Goaltending's not perfect, sure, but they're not, you know, protecting their netminders enough. You had the stat, I think it was last week, about how many times they've allowed such a high shot rate against or how many times they've allowed so many scoring chances against. And it does feel like that's the case. We're seeing these like wide open games a little bit more often.
In all seriousness, is there concern for you with Tampa and Vasilevsky?
No. If we look at the first year that they won the cup, I think it was. No, he's done this before. He had a really, it's funny. So I put out the cup checklist and I did one of previous winners, and it's only based on regular season stats. So Vasilevsky had, I think, a red X one year, and people were like, what do you mean he wasn't an elite goalie that year? That regular season, I want to say it was their first cup year, but it might have been the second. I have to double check that. He was pretty average. He really wasn't great. But once the playoffs started, he had one of his usual legendary performances. So I'm not worried yet.
Okay, well, as the resident goalie on the panel here, I will say I'm a little worried because that happened last year and it took him until game 6 against Toronto in the first round to get going, and it was almost too late. And you're right, 2 years ago when they won their second cup, it was a little bit of the same. I blame his skates, and I know people are going to say, what? Well, he did change skates last year and the year before, and it just kind of bad foundation and the rest of the house shook. But I'm worried because I don't think Tampa can help him as much as what they've done in the past to get him going. Like, there has been some really, really fault in their defensive game. So, again, just to go back to your point, is Tampa's defensive game good enough? Is Victor Hedman and Sergachev, you know, going to be able to overcome what is maybe a lack of depth up front to help him defensively?
Yeah, that's a good question because you're right. Last year, we didn't see him jump into gear until game six or seven. The nice thing is he's going to have that opportunity to again. You know, it's the Maple Leafs, and that series is probably going to go six or seven. And if it does, no one's picking Toronto, rightfully so. But yeah, their defensive depth is definitely a bit different this year. We're seeing, you know, at the beginning of the year, it was because they were missing players like Cirelli and adopting to life without Ryan McDonagh, which was, you know, really difficult for them because he does play key minutes and he added a little bit more two-way pop to the pairing with Chernak, who's a pure defensive defenseman. And then on top of that, like you mentioned, Victor Hedman, he had a pretty terrible first half of the year. It was completely uncharacteristic of him. And while he's starting to get better, he earned his role back on power play one. He still isn't at the level that, you know, the Lightning should want. It kind of goes back to the deadline. Like, I would have thought that was the perfect team to add a depth defenseman. They've been very good at that before. It feels like that's really what they needed. And they spent so much on one player who has not been great yet. I'm sure that'll change for the playoffs, but, you know, really hasn't been as outstanding. So it kind of all, you know, plays together. It feels like he doesn't have that same defensive support. The forward group seems to really have the right balance, but the defense isn't there. And that's going to put more pressure on him. If anyone can live up to it, it's him, but you're still asking for a lot.
Ovechkin going to score 50?
When I did something about this a couple weeks ago, he was not on pace two, but apparently he doesn't care about any of our work and is just going to do what he wants, which is great and wonderful. He plays like 90% of the power play minutes, available power play time. Few players are up at those levels, so there's a very good chance that he does just make it happen, right? He's out there in every 6-on-5 situation if they're trailing, so he can get, you know, those clutch goals to tie the game. It's not going to be surprising if we see him thrown out there to defend just so he can have a better chance at an empty netter, because why not? It doesn't matter for the Capitals at this point. It feels like they're just going to do whatever they can to help him keep, you know, collecting milestones.
How many 50 goal scorers, Dan? Because McDavid's at 60, he may get to 70, but you have seven players that are now in the 40s with Pastrnak at 49 and Ovechkin at 41. So how many of those seven do you think will get to 50 and be in the same category as Connor McDavid?
So when I did the math it was Sunday night, there were six players on pace. So you have McDavid, who is going to hit it any second, and he did. You have Mikko Rantanen, Pastrnak, Point, Tage Thompson, and I'm missing somebody. It'll come to me.
Dreisaitl,
duh, there you go. Yeah, even in a down year, he's still doing it, even though it takes 60% of his goals are coming on the power play this year. So, yeah, there's. I think those six players are all going to do it, but I won't be surprised if someone like Jason Robertson jumps up and does it. You know, the thing for him is he's not, like, the only shooter on his line. Someone like Rube Hintz can. Someone like Joe Pavelski can as well, but it does feel like, you know, he has a very good chance to move up as well. We know he's such a good, you know, shooter, and he's a good playmaker, so he can do it all. But if Ovechkin joins that fold, that could be up to eight players, and that is something we haven't seen in years.
Yeah, Ovechkin needs 9 in the last 9. He got one last night, real critical late tally in a blowout win. But, you know, it could be really interesting if, obviously, it would be historic if he's able to do it and become the all-time leader in most 50-goal seasons. Shayna, congrats on the new addition to your team. We'll do this again next Friday.
Thanks for having me.
Shayna Goldman from The Athletic and the Too Many Men podcast. We're back to wrap Sabres Live with a special message after this. Stay with us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.